Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Romans chapter number 13. We're going to begin at number 10, verse number 10. The Lord says, "The love that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Father, we pray that you would open your word to our open hearts. Help us to receive it, to respond to it, to rejoice in it. We thank you for it. We pray that it have its way with us. Change us. Help us. We need you. Touch us with this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It was, I believe it was 1998. I only remember the year because it was the only year in my lifetime that we ever won a national championship in football. God forgives, so remember that. I remember as a kid growing up, I remember John Ward calling the football games, and he was always my favorite, still is. He's dead now. But I remember when he held a press conference to retire, right? Everybody suspected it was going to happen. But I remember the first two words that he said. He said, "It's time." And that really could have been all that he said. We read in the scripture, and I hope you're putting that together now, that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said it's high time, which means it's past time. It means we should have already. It's time. I don't know how to influence or affect your heart today, to change your mind, to change your disposition toward God or toward anything going on. I don't have that ability. I never have. But God does. And so I pray today that he'll challenge us in his word, that the truth of God's word would open up our hearts and that we would recognize personally, right? I'm not pointing at Faye and saying it's time for you to do something. I'm saying, God, I want you to show me what you were showing them. He said, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time that we awake out of sleep." I want us to think first, I want to go backwards to a time when Jesus needed help. He took with him all of the disciples to Gethsemane, and then he took a few of them even farther with him. Peter And James and John went farther with Christ as he went into the garden. And then the Bible said that he told them, he said, I want you to stay here while I go right over there. One writer said that he went about as far as you could throw a rock, right? So it wasn't that far. Wasn't far enough that he was out of their hearing. They were close enough to Jesus as he entered into the greatest suffering of his life. And he said to them, I want you to wait here. And he said, I want you to watch with me. He didn't plead with them and say, I need you to pray for me. That wasn't his need, and he didn't ask them to pray for him. He said, I want you to stay here, and I want you to watch with me. They were going to be able to hear all three of the prayers that Jesus would pray. According to the scripture, he was in agony. His heart had become exceeding sorrowful as he began to approach what he knew were his final hours on this earth. What he knew to be that very moment in time, that few precious hours before they would take him, and then the suffering of all suffering would begin. And he dreaded this. Jesus in the flesh dreaded knowing, because he was God, knowing that what was coming was the pain and the suffering and the humiliation of it all. He knew this. And he looked to his friends and he said to them, I want you to stay right here. Here, because it's close enough that you can still hear me. Here, because you can see the agony that I am in. Here, because knowing what I'm going through will compel you to pray with me, to stand with me, to watch with me. I want you to watch with me even but for an hour. The Bible said that Jesus went, and as he began to pray, we know the prayer that he prayed. And when he finished, he came back to his disciples. Now, you've got to ask yourself the question, why did he go back to the disciples? What did he need from them? What value had they brought to him? He wasn't going back to Peter. He wasn't going back to John for any assistance or help that he needed at the moment. He knew what he had to do, and he would do. He went back to see if they were doing what he asked them to do. And what did he find? They were asleep. Oh, the danger of going to sleep on God. The troubling thing about sleep is we don't know we're asleep. Right? You're not consciously thinking while you're sleeping, so glad I'm asleep. When sleep gets you, you don't know you're sleeping. How in the world do you wake yourself up if you don't know you're asleep? Other things wake us up, but not sleep. It's not the sleep. What is it that causes us to lull in sleep spiritually? Now, there were probably some certain issues that we all have and that they had at that moment. It was late, right? Anymore, when the clock strikes 9, I start yawning, right? And I get accused of being old and all of those other things. There's a biological clock in all of us, right? When there's a certain time of day that our body is used to slowing down and we prepare to go to bed or go to sleep, amen, our body begins to say, it's time to sleep. You know what their body was telling them in the middle of the night? It was saying, it's time for you to go to sleep. And yet in the most critical hour of our Lord, he had asked them to do a simple thing, and yet what their body was saying is, I can't do that. Is that not just like your flesh? Is it not just like the flesh that we dwell in, and that it's contrary by nature to the things of God? Doesn't come to a surprise to any one of us that our flesh doesn't want to serve God. The surprise is they were in the very presence of Jesus and couldn't serve God. They couldn't even manage the lust of their own flesh to close their eyes and to take a nap while Jesus Christ was in agony to the extent that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. So, preacher, if I had been there, I would have stayed awake for Christ. Really, he dwells within our heart and we can't stay awake. Maybe it was the time of day. But not just because they were tired, not just because they were exhausted, they had been through a great number of things in the last week, not just because of their flesh was wearing out, but maybe because it was dark, that they began to nod off. I wonder today if the darkness has caused some of us to want to sleep. What is it about the darkness? Well, there's nothing about darkness. You can't truly see in it unless there's a light of some sort. If it's truly darkness, then what else does the mind have to do? If it's truly darkness, what else do the eyes have to do? What else do the ears have to hear? If it's truly darkness, you see, if it's truly something that we cannot witness, I wonder what compels us to sleep when the danger is so great. And yet spiritually, and you'll have to make this fit if it fits you, spiritually, there's so many people today that are simply asleep on God. They're not ready. He said, watch. Right? He wasn't saying watch and pray yet. The first thing he said was, I just want you to stay here and watch with me. And he came back the second time and he woke them up. Thank God for a merciful God who would wake us up. Right? I can remember waking up some of our own children sometimes. Right? You whack them on the head or you whack them on the backside. You know, get out of bed. And that might have been me. Right? I'm telling you, you better thank God I'm not him. You need to wake up. No, he came and he woke them up. And he said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? The compelling question, is it not? Is it not still relevant today? As the name of Jesus is so heisted and molested by this world who despises him in every way, how many of us could hear the words and truly take to heart the voice of Christ who says, can you not watch with me for 1 more hour? Can you not be faithful to me for 1 more day, for 1 more week, for 1 more year? Can you not commit yourself in a way that exalts the cross of Christ above everything, the flesh, the eyes, and all of the lust thereof? Can we not watch with Jesus? Every excuse in the world we have sometimes to take a nap. Not just physically. But then there's the spiritual apathy that comes upon us sometimes when we don't understand the situation. I get that. It's the very thing that the devil wants us to fall into, the snare of thinking that nothing is wrong. The snare of thinking that there is no danger out there to watch for. The snare in thinking that I really have nothing to fear and I don't have an enemy and things are well with my soul. The fear, all of these things I'll say to you today are dangers. Why so? Because they lull us to sleep. We drop our guard. We stop watching. We stop engaging in the battle. We stop engaging in our prayers and in the Word of God and finding those things that awaken us spiritually and grow us for the battle that is at hand. Can we not watch? The Apostle Paul would say it. It's high time that we wake up, that we recognize that there is a spiritual danger. There is a spiritual warfare that is going on. Not one of us would declare or stand against the truth that there is a battle raging for the souls of men all around us, the soul of our country, the soul of our society. The very enemy himself has lodged his war and his battle against us. Can we not watch? Jesus said, wake up. Wake up. Can you not watch with me for 1 hour? And then he said to them, watch again. Right? Isn't it just like the Lord to give them a second chance? How many of us have had our second chance? Have had our third chance? How many of us have been waked up by God spiritually? How many would confess, I've been woke up many times? That there are times that I go to sleep on God. There are times when my flesh is weary and I yield to the flesh and as opposed to putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not making provision for the flesh, I simply give in to the flesh. And in these things, we find ourselves lulled to sleep by an enemy who is the killer and stealer and the very destroyer of our lives. He is the one who wants to lull us to sleep. It's high time. You see, it's past time. That we wake up, that we wake up. Seeing, knowing the time. Right? I don't need to give anybody a history lesson or a current events instruction, but if you'll just look around you can see the time that we're in. If there's ever been a time that the enemy rages and is sinking his claws spiritually into so many unbelievers, there is a desperate need for a battle today. And you cannot wage a war if you're asleep. I was reminded as I stood at the graveside of a veteran this week, and he was honored by the U.S. military. And at the end of the 21-gun salute, they played taps. Had the guy there with his trumpet, and he was playing it. Before he started it, the honor guard captain there, he said to everybody, he said, this is played on every U.S. military base worldwide. He said, at the end of the day, when your labors are done, this is played. And they played it. And I stood there over an open grave, and I was watching the young man play Reverie. And as I listened, I wept because I thought to myself, some think that our labors are done. The truth is the trumpet has not blown yet. It will. Hear me. He was very careful to tell them in Thessalonians, there is a day coming that the trumpet of God will sound. And when it sounds, my day will be over. My labor will have ceased on that day. I will no longer be engaged in this spiritual warfare. And if I am alive, I will be changed and caught up to be him. If I'm dead, my body will come out of the grave. But when the trumpet of God shall sound, then shall my day be done. But it is not done yet. It is not a time to acquiesce to the flesh or the spiritual meanderings of an enemy who simply wants you to disengage. Watch and pray. He came back. The second time he challenged him as he woke them up. And he said, could you not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray, he said, that you don't enter into temptation. Now he's trying to help them. Right? He wasn't seeking their assistance. Jesus bore it all. Thank God he wasn't dependent on the likes of Peter or James or John or you or me. Jesus bore it all. He, hear me, did it himself. The only one that could. But oh, the mercy of God, they woke him up. Oh, he said, watch. And pray. He said, you've got an enemy. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He warned them. He said, the spirit is willing. Hear me, he said, but your flesh is weak. In most cases, it's the flesh, it's the mind, it's the flesh that causes us, because of its weary condition, to fall into an attitude spiritually that allows us to be lulled to sleep. And when you're asleep, did you know you don't serve God? Faye, if you were still asleep, you wouldn't be here. You'd be home. Pretty tempting, isn't it? Because when you go to sleep, you're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about serving God. You're not going to the house of God. You're not following. You're not obeying God. You're not watching with God. You're not praying. These are the things the enemy wants of us. Amen. To lay down and to not engage in the battle. We can make every excuse in the world to do everything in the world that we want to do. But when it comes to God, we can't even watch an hour. We can't even engage for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. We can't even awaken ourselves spiritually. You say, well, I've got things to do. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. In the end, there will be some things that matter, and there'll be a lot that don't. And there's a bunch of things that we line up in front of God and we say, this is important. May I ask you a question? Is it more important than God? I would challenge that some of us are asleep. If we actually can in our daily lives live in a way that puts things ahead of Jesus Christ that have no eternal significance, I would simply say you're not awake. Not spiritually. Right? If there's anything in my life that I would categorize as being more important than God, let me be more specific. More important than the people of God. More important than the house of God. More important than the word of God. What is more important than God? You see, the only rational explanation that someone that knows, you see, you know, could put something before God would be that they're not awake. Their spiritual senses are not active or engaged. They're not lively in their prayers or their word searching and their hunger for the Almighty. We are asleep if we have established in our own heart that there are things in this world greater or more important than God. What the apostle said was, is he said, knowing the time. Well, it's not like you're ignorant of what's going on around you, right? You shake your head at the atrocities every day. You look around and you say, how can these things be? You acknowledge with others, surely this is a fulfilling of some kind of prophetic truth. Surely this is the end of time. Surely we're seeing the demise of man. Surely we're watching as men are becoming lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth, resisting truth itself and saying that evil is good and good is evil. Surely we see the times are perilous. We're not sitting here, Travis, saying, no, everything's great. No, you've acknowledged that there's something dreadfully wrong. And I say to you today that the desire to sleep is so compelling. And it is the one thing that the enemy is able to do yet to the children of God. He ain't able to steal them. He ain't able to snatch them from his hand. He's not able to drag you to the pit. He's not able to take your life. He doesn't have the authority or power to do anything to me. But he has rocked me to sleep. He has taken me in his own cradle and said, everything is fine. All is well. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. There's no problems. And yet what we know about that whole story is that Jesus said about the fool, he said the very night, the very day he said it, night his soul was required of him. And then everything that he had prepped for, everything that he had planned for, meant nothing. Tell me what it is that distracts you from God today. What is it that seems to sidetrack you or to mentally it is a lullaby of the devil as he whispers and sings this soft music in your ear and says, take your ease, it's fine. When even with our eyes and our ears, we know it's not fine. We can see it's not fine. What Paul said was knowing the time. You know the time that we're in. I read it to you earlier from 2 Timothy 3. We know the time that we're in. And yet we're asleep. What does it take to awake? Right? For most of us, certainly me, you might be one of those that just rise with the chronological raising of the sun, right? Maybe you're that person. Congratulations. I have an alarm clock. And I set it. You know why? Because if there is a particular time that I have to get up, there better be a timepiece that helps me. There better be something that engages me that is abstract or different or an alarm to me to wake me up. And at 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. every day, that alarm clock goes off. And it awakens me out of my sleep. And I realize when I wake up that I have stuff to do. That I have a job to do. I have things that must be done. You see, all of these things are reasons that we wake up. May I say to you today that I know the time. I know the time spiritually. I know that looking at the clock spiritually, we certainly ought to be alarmed, or at least in a state of emergency, that we recognize that I must be awake right now. Cannot sleep spiritually. Not now. No, not now. There's too much at stake. There's too many dangers. There's too much going on. We must be awake for God, knowing that it's time. He said, Peter, wake up. He said, you better watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Yeah, the spirit is willing, but your flesh is so weak, you better watch. And the Bible said that he went back the second time and he prayed again. And Jesus, finishing that prayer the second time, came back to the disciples. And what did he find again? They were asleep. He woke them the second time and then went back and he prayed the third time and he come back the third time and guess what he found? Matthew said that they were still sleeping. Once again, they were sleeping. And I read in Matthew just earlier this morning where Jesus, he said, sleep on. It's too late. The time that was so critical, the opportunity to have learned or grown spiritually, that opportunity, they had missed. And then the next thing was, as he woke them up and said, they're coming. Get up. Those that seek me are almost here. And what happened to the disciples? They grabbed Jesus and they only grabbed Jesus. You know what the rest of them did? They ran. They left him. Peter, the very one that said, though they take you and it cost me my life, he said, I will not leave you. He ran. Why? Spiritually, he was sleeping. He wasn't awake spiritually. He wasn't ready. And even that night, he would deny him that he even knew him. You see what kind of shape you can get in when you're spiritually snoring? You can't hear anything. You can't even hear your snoring. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? I'm just oblivious to everything going on. And yet what God wants us to do is to be awake and ready, vigilant, sober, working in the day, not allowing the things of the darkness to encroach upon us and to begin to steal and destroy from our lives. But you must be awake. Come and get a song. Well, there's a whole lot more to the passage I read, but let's take this. If we don't take anything else, you need to recognize today, and I don't know how to do that, right? I've already tried to tell you how difficult this is because I can't wake you up. There's going to take some kind of alarm to wake you up. That's normally what it takes for people, is some kind of alarm. I don't know what kind of alarm that you're waiting on, but I would hope that a simple truth from the Word of God would ring the bell loud enough that your soul would wake up. But that's not true for everyone. Sometimes it takes an alarm that is much more serious, much more engaging. Much more purposeful, maybe. If you're asleep today, I don't know how to wake you up. Right? I can't wake you up spiritually. Right? If you think for 1 minute that me standing up here and cheerleading you will help you get to heaven, that's not the truth. Right? Because if you're sleeping, it don't matter what I do. If we are disengaged spiritually, it's going to take something spiritual to wake you. And that God will do. I've always feared God. I don't know about you. But I've always recognized this simple truth that from obedience comes blessing and disobedience comes chastening. And I fear God. Why? Because God can do anything he wants. I'm honest. I have no right to anything I have. If I've got a biscuit, I'm blessed. I'm telling you, God has been good to me. I don't deserve none of it. But I sure don't want to live with an arrogant and prideful spirit that says, I don't care what's going on, God. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep while the whole world falls apart. I think I'll just take a nap. What alarm must he send you to engage you to wake up? Stand with us.
Number 380.
Tie time. Past time, you see. To have awoken from our sleep. Go ahead and sing.